Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, May 24th, 2011, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Since Pleiadian Lineup was just last week, we've been hearing stories from many of our community about what they experienced, from activations to high strangeness, and I'm sure many of you had sightings too. So tonight, we've asked some of them to share their accounts of Pleiadian Lineup 2011, and these stories are remarkable evidence of a large tapestry being woven from high command. And we hope that in hearing them, it helps you make sense of anything you've experienced that may have shaken your sanity. We want you to know that you are not alone. We'd like to thank Purple Sage and Mystic for handling the switchboard and chat room this evening, and we'd appreciate your chat being on topic. Mystic will be forwarding your questions to us from the chat room for those who can't call in. And if you can call, our number is 917-889-8292. That's 917-889-8292. Then press 1 so we know you have something to say. Otherwise, we'll think you're just listening. You can also listen on your computer at blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. As always, we ask you to be brief, and tonight, please, only questions or comments concerning Pleiadian Lineup. Before we get started, I'd like to ask each and every one of you for your help, as I do each week. We get a lot of wonderful emails from our listeners and members of our community wanting to know what they can do to help us. As you know, our motto is empowering Starseed to better serve the planet. And one of the best ways we can do that is to increase our visibility. Even though we've had over 35,000 listens to our show, so far only 302 have registered at Blog Talk Radio and clicked the word follow on our page. If we could really increase our number of official followers, we'll have a better chance of increasing our visibility and being a featured show here. So please, register for free and click the word follow on our show page. The Starseed Radio Academy team is grateful for your help. If you haven't visited our main site yet, which is starseedhotline.com, we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation, and we also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. That's .ning.com. Plus, we're on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. And yes, I have made progress uploading episode photos for all of our archive shows, but I've still got more to do, so we don't have to see that gigantic headshot of me every single time. Okay. We'll get started with our callers in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. We also want you to know that we have so many requests for our Starseed confirmation service, which we call a Stage 1 reading, that there could be up to a two-week wait. Now, with the Stage 1 reading, you'll get your natal and progress charts and an MP3 of your reading, pointing out and explaining your star markings, if you have them. Our Stage 2 readings, which are a one-on-one phone consultation, do get priority, and they include the Starseed confirmation. Both Lavendar and I are available for Starseed confirmation and personal consultation. And don't forget, if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by requesting your solar return timing. Your manifestational ability is amplified 1,000-fold during those 10 hours, so don't miss out. And make sure you give us a couple of weeks lead time, okay? Thanks. And now I would like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Hello, Lavendar. And hello, Sierra.
Hello, hello. How are you doing this evening?
We're doing fine. Lavendar, hi. I know you're there.
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Hello. Didn't have my mic on.
Okay. All right. Welcome, ladies.
Well, I'm really excited to have this program tonight because I've had so many different people let me know about different experiences they've had during this Pleiadian lineup. I want to also say that a lot of the Pleiadian ships came in April, and because of some of the things that were starting to happen on the planet, they came in early. There's some that are still here, and because of the earth changes and volcanoes and earthquakes and tornadoes, and as I'm talking to you right now in Oklahoma, we have 10 tornadoes on the ground. And so I was watching it just before I came in, and it's like it's they have cameras showing this, and it's really something. So, you know, just hold a good thought for us here in Oklahoma because we are experiencing some turbulent weather. I do want to mention something that I did see last week during Pleiadian lineup. We had a storm come here, and on our courthouse there is a camera. And there is a weatherman that can see the camera and point out, the, you know, the funnel that was happening. And over to the left came in a little scout ship. And I said, oh, there's a Pleiadian ship. And it came in the form of a cloud. And then there were six more. So we had seven show up on our television screen. But the guy was pointing toward the tornado, and he didn't say a word about the other things that were in the picture. I thought that was, yeah, I thought that was like, okay, where are your eyes?
Yeah, dum 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 dum.
Can't you see this?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to mention that. So there's so much information about what happens at Pleiadian lineup. A lot of you, I have sent information before I do our sessions. You get a copy of Discovery of Star Markings, which explains how I know what I know about the star markings in your chart. And then also I usually send Pleiadian lineup. So a lot of you already have the information that I talk about, you know, on these shows at different times. But I'm just so really anxious to start with our guest tonight. And when I think John's going to be first. Do you find John there anywhere?
Not yet.
Okay.
Unless he's calling in from a different number. If you are on the switchboard, which is already filling up, if you are on the switchboard as one of the people we've invited to come on and talk, you need to press 1 so that we know you have that you're waiting to come on the air. And, yes, I'm looking for John's number, and it's not here yet. So plan B.
Okay, well, I don't have my list in front of me. I sent you a list of who was next, so maybe go to the number 2 person.
I recognize Tammy's number.
Okay.
Tammy's here, ready, willing, and able. Okay. All right, Ms. Tammy, give me a second here. Hello, Tammy, you are on the air. Thank you.
Hello.
So we're glad to have you with us tonight, and Lavendar, have you already talked to Tammy about this?
Yes, Tammy, yes.
So you know what she's about to say.
Yeah, Tammy, just go ahead and share with us anything that you experienced during this Pleiadian lineup.
Hang on a second, Tammy. Hang on, your mic just turned itself off. So what does that tell you? You're going to have to start over again, sweetie. Go ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear. Yes, we can.
All right. It started the first week of May. I am not one to remember my dreams too much. And I went to sleep, and I remember that I started, there was a line of people that I was doing work on. And just an infinite line of people. And they would stand in front of me. I would put them in an orb, put inside of the orb whatever the person needed, and I would give it a tap, and it would just float off, and the next person would come. And I woke up, went to the bathroom, got a drink, went back to sleep, and started again. And I remember thinking, oh, my goodness, I remembered my dream, and I'm still doing it. And this went on all night long, and I got up a couple of times and was fully awake, and remembered what I was doing, and when I went back to sleep, continued. And it was just the most surreal dream, and I very seldom remember anything that happens in my dream time. And then on May the 11th, I went to bed early that night, and I have a routine I do when I go to bed. And I lay down, and I was putting on my crystal helmet, and I don't even know how I knew or I was aware, but I was like, hey, what are you doing here? I'm not even asleep yet. Well, let me get my helmet on. And then I remember mumbling something like, okay, well, let me remember something, and I was out. I woke up the next morning, and I had a puncture wound and a big bruise around it where I had been given a shot. And
wow.
I don't remember anything more than that, but I had a knowing that they were there before I was even asleep. I don't know why I expected to be asleep. And a friend asked me, you know, what did you see him? And I remember I kept my eyes closed real tight for some reason. So, yeah, I don't know what that was all about. And then the week after that, I continued to remember my dreams, and they were all very relevant to what's going on in my life. And then I had on the 21st, I went to a place where I buy crystals, and there was the most extraordinary crystal that she had just brought in, and it was pink tourmaline, about 6-inch long shafts of it, and they went in a complete circle around a piece of milky quartz. And when I held that crystal, and I do a lot of work with crystals, I have hundreds of them. This one, I've never had an experience from an attunement, an activation, nothing like I experienced holding this crystal. It felt like my feet were enlarged like 50 times because the energy was blasting through them, through the earth grid. My crown just blew open. All my chakras blew open. And for the whole rest of the day, I was in the most elated energy that I had never experienced before.
Wow.
And that's my story.
And you're sticking to it.
And I'm sticking to it.
Well, thank you so much, Tammy, for sharing that. You know, we always enjoy hearing from you. And would you take a picture
so
of that?
You know that I just had a knowing that they were there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see them, but I just knew it. I don't know. Apparently they were when I woke up and had the shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as Levendar says, it's sometimes best if we don't remember so we can carry on with our normal lives.
Oh.
And if you would you take a picture? Do you have that crystal, or did you bring it home?
Actually, it's very expensive, and I'm going to just, like, not buy groceries next week and pay a bill, and I have to go buy it. So I will send a picture of it.
Do that, and put it up
if
on the forum.
If I don't ascend or leave this planet while I'm holding it, I don't even know what's going to happen when it's in my possession. I actually petted it and called it my precious. They probably think I'm crazy.
Well, yeah, I'd love to see.
Oh, and another thing, I got a lot of things. I can't remember a lot of things. I have a healing practice, and two different procedures. One I've done 100 times. And I can't remember how to do it. It was like some things got erased.
That's very significant because I think that is a common thing that's happening. I mean, I've heard, Levendar, you've said the same, you've noticed the same thing.
Yes, I have.
And yesterday I had the first time I looked at somebody and I didn't know their name. And it was somebody that I should know their name. And it took me a good 10 seconds to pull the name out. So, you know,
yep.
I was like, oh.
I know what you're saying.
What is that? Okay. We'll put all the pieces together and try to make a picture out of this. But right now we just want to gather the information and hear the stories. So thank you so much, Tammy, for calling. We appreciate
it. You are welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. John is with us. I just saw his number, but like I said, the switchboard is filling up, so I'm going to have to go find it again. Okay, where did you go? He must have got disconnected because his number's not here. It was here 2 seconds ago. Okay, well, we're going to move on. We have, there he is. Okay. Okay, he called back on Skype. Hang on. Okay, John, I got you back. You are on the air.
I'm there. Am I on the air?
You are on the air.
Can you? Oh, very good, very good. Hi, Lavendar, how are you?
Great, and John, I'll tell you, when you told me the story that you're about to share with us, it's like, wow, you know, all I could say was understanding is not a prerequisite for a happening. So if you would, just start at the beginning and tell us your story about what happened during Pleiadian lineup.
Well, my story started, what I gather is about 3 months ago. I went to bed at night, and when I turn off the light, I usually go to sleep very quickly, and I look up at my ceiling, and I see these white lights on my ceiling, and it's almost like a constellation of stars, some brighter than others, and lots of them. And I had a table sitting next to my bed that had probably 40 or 50 crystals on it, and I assumed that there was some light coming in from the outside the window, shining on a crystal and projecting some light up onto the ceiling. And so I gave it no attention, really. And a month or so goes by, and every night these lights are on my ceiling, right above where I lay. And during this period of time, I like playing Texas Hold'em poker, and so I was playing poker, and it seemed like at 8:30 every night, I would either get aces or kings in my hand, and I would go all in, and I would lose, and I would go out of the poker room just frustrated that at 8:30, almost on the dot, I would lose. And I knew, I just sensed that the card game was being manipulated, and I just couldn't hardly stand it, you know. And finally, I stopped going pretty much to play poker, and I loved the game, and but I was so frustrating that every night at 8:30 when I was playing, I was out of the game. And I'd come home talking to myself, and there I go to bed, and there's those lights above me. And I just figured again the crystals were projecting some lights on the ceiling. Well, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I decided that I'm going to take all the crystals out of my room. And so I packaged them up, I wrapped them up and put them in boxes and set them in my other room, and took them out of my room. And I went to bed, and I didn't really think too much of it. But a night or two goes by, and I look up at the ceiling, and there's those lights again. And they've never left. They were always there. And I thought, well, now that's interesting. I took all the crystals out of the room and still have this constellation of lights. It's just like going outside and looking up at the stars. And I started memorizing the pattern and trying to figure out, is there a geometric form to it or whatever? And then I just let it go. Well, just before the Palladium lineup, I decided that I'm going to go play poker every night for 5 nights in a row that week before the Palladium lineup. And so the first night I go, and just right about 9 o'clock, I have a hand that, you know, is like an ace queen dealt to me, and I bet heavily on it. And I don't know if you know poker, but the dealer turns over street cards, and there's an ace, ace, ten, and there I am with trip aces, and I'm thinking, wow. And the person who's in the hand against me goes all in, and I'm sitting there with three aces, and I go all in, and she turns over her cards, and she has two queens, and I have three aces. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm going to win this hand. And there's only one card in the whole deck that could beat me. And on the river comes that one card, the queen. She has three queens, I have three aces, but the two aces that were on the table makes her a full house, and I'm out the door. And I'm frustrated. 9 o'clock, I'm on my way home. Next night, the same identical scenario, different cards, maybe queens instead of, but on the river comes the card that could beat me, and another full house beats trips. And for 5 nights in a row, I am beat the same way every night, and I am just quite upset. But I come home, I'm in bed by 10 o'clock, I look up at the ceiling, and there are those lights. And so one night, I decide that I'm going to find out what it is that's reflecting in my room. So the next day I got up and I took everything out of my room except for my bed. There was no pictures, no mirrors, nothing. I took a quilt and nailed it over the window, so there's absolutely no light in my room. So either it had to be a source of light or a reflection, and there was nothing in my room that could reflect light. I turned out the light at 10 o'clock, and I couldn't see my hand in front of my face as I went to my bed. I got into bed, I looked up, and there are those stars on my ceiling. And I just couldn't believe it. And I took my hand as I'm laying in bed, and I waved it in front of these lights, and I can see the silhouette of my hand. Now, when I was standing over by the door, and I turned out the light, I looked at my hand, I couldn't see my hand. So it's perfectly pitch dark in my room. So I decided to jump up on top of my bed, and I stood on my bed, and I got up real close to these lights that are in the ceiling, and I'm trying to understand the pattern of them. And I know there's a geometric form here or something that I need to know. And I took my hands and I cupped them over the top of one of the brighter lights, and I put my hands up against the ceiling, and I cupped that little light, and I opened up my hand just enough to where I could look inside my hands, and there it was. That light was just glowing in my hands. And I went to the next brighter star, brighter light, and I looked in my hand, and there it was. And I couldn't hardly believe it. So the next day I decided, this is crazy. So I told my roommate about it at that point, and she said that, well, maybe there's some reflectors or something in the ceiling or paint or whatever in the ceiling that's causing this. And I said, I just don't understand it. And she said, well, do you think I can see it? And I said, well, I don't know. So that night at 10 o'clock, quilt on the wall, nothing in my room, pitch dark. I invite her in my room. I said, sit on the bed, and I'm going to turn out the light. And I said, don't look up at the ceiling until your eyes adjusted to the darkness. And then I said, just look straight up and see if you could see them. And sure enough, she could see them. And so I just couldn't hardly believe it. So the next day I decided that if there's some reflectors or something in the ceiling that's reflecting or creating this light, I'm going to cover it up with paint. So I went to the Home Depot. I bought a gallon of the bare best paint they could have with stain blocker and primer in with the paint. I came home and I painted the ceiling bright white. And that night, again with the quilt on the wall and over the window and everything, I lay in bed and I'm looking up at these lights, and there they are. Now, wait a minute. What is causing this? And so my roommate suggested maybe it's the Palladian constellation. I said, I said, there's lots of lights, something, but I don't think so. And so she pulls it up onto the computer, and we look at the constellation. As soon as I saw it on the computer, I knew exactly that is what it was. And so there I am.
The Pleiades.
What it looks like. Yeah, the Pleiades, constellation that I can see. And so the next night, the next day, I painted the ceiling sky blue. And I decided that maybe if I painted the ceiling a little darker color than the white, it would show up a little better, but it did not. And on the 20th, they went away. And so for almost 3 months, I had the Palladian constellation above my body, above my head, right there, and I can sit and watch them. There were, I don't know how many stars, but the bright ones and a lot of the lighter, dimmer stars showed through, plus a little mist, like a reflection of a cloud or a mist in the air. But that's what I came up with, that this was actually the Palladian constellation above me. And I don't know if it was a portal. I really can't say that I remember anything during the night, during this three-month period. But I kind of miss them. They're not there now. And each night I go to bed now and I look up and I kind of wish they were there. And I paid more attention to them other than just for the Palladian activation time. So that's my story, and I don't know if anybody out there can shed some light, I guess, onto what it was or whatever. But I know it was real, those lights, that constellation. When I cut my hands over those lights and I peeked into my hands to see if that light was there, it was shining just as bright as it was when I looked up at the ceiling. So a mystery, I guess.
Well, John, I just think that one of the things that occurred to me is that whatever great hand you had at poker, some energies were interfering with making sure that you got home at 9 o'clock.
it was every night. I was home. I left the poker table. There were times at 9 o'clock I would get I remember getting pocket kings. At 9 o'clock, and I threw them in. I wouldn't even play them because I wanted to play. I was there to play poker, and I didn't want to go home. It's 9 o'clock, and you know the evening just started, and you know, and then the next time I'd get aces, and I'd get three aces, and I'm out. Somebody would get a, you know, and so it was just amazing. But I had to be home by 10 o'clock, and these lights, I will have. They came, they appeared around 10 o'clock at night, and they lasted for 2 hours, and then they would disappear. I'd wake up at 1, 2 in the morning, and they wouldn't be there. But at 10 o'clock, they were there, midnight, they were there, and then they would disappear. So I had to be home to get to bed by 10 o'clock every night. And I believe they manipulated the odds of having the same identical hand basically for five nights in a row at 9 o'clock and being taken out. I don't know what the odds are of that happening, but pretty high. But I had to be home by 10 o'clock so that I can be there when the lights came on and I was there in that energy. So. I can't say that I experienced anything supernatural or anything, but those lights were real, that's it.
Okay, I think that's just pretty incredible. You know, you told me another story. I don't know if you'd be comfortable telling it about the man with had the sex scandal in New York. Are you comfortable talking about what you think might have happened?
No, I would rather not. I'd rather stay on the Palladian aspect than to talk about Khan, but maybe at another date.
Okay. It was a great observation, and we'll maybe have you come back and tell us about it later. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, John. I really
all right.
I appreciate you coming on and sharing that story with us.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye.
So, Ariel, what do you think?
Well, I mean, it was obviously orchestration and the fact that the constellation was the Pleiades and that you could lose at the exact same time every single night so that you would have to be home. That's obvious orchestration to me. And as far as what the message is, I think we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, I think for sure that our friend John is definitely on some Pleiadian agenda and plan, and something that maybe will be revealed to him later for the work that he's going to do on the planet. So I think it's a good confirmation that he's online with the Pleiades. That seems to be very strong.
Right. No doubt there.
Sierra, what is your take on that?
Well, what I was getting while he was speaking was that there was some downloading that was happening and work that was being done with him, and that he carries a very specific frequency that they needed to kind of have him tuned in while they were doing the work around the planet. I also got that he's not fully awakened, or maybe he is. I don't know him and I don't know his story, but to the energetic energy that he carries, the energetics he carries and what he actually turns on. It's almost like if you want to consider a radio station and you're listening to a radio station, and you get certain people listening to the radio station at certain points of the world, and it actually ties an energy together, much like what we do here at Starseed Hotline or the Starseed Radio Academy. And it amps up, it actually kicks up the frequency when you have certain people tied into the work that you're doing and the frequency you're broadcasting. And so that's what I get was happening while he was during that time.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I agree.
Okay, well, we have Felipe online and standing by. So let's move on. Hang on a second. I'm opening up. Okay, Felipe, you are on the air.
Hello?
Hello. Hello, Felipe. You're on the air.
How are you?
We're good. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, I was surprised because I was not greeted either by Mystic or Purple Sage, so I thought I was not in queue or something.
Well, I recognize your phone number.
Oh, so you just bypassed
it,
huh?
And Purple Sage also had your phone number, so she did pick up on your call and flagged it for me.
So I can't hide anymore, huh?
You cannot hide.
Okay, that's fine. Just briefly, Lavandar, I guess those tornadoes are northeast from you, right?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, I was just thinking about you because I just was earlier, you know, an hour earlier, glance over a screen and looking at those Oklahoma tornadoes and looking at the map, and I thought, oh, my dear sister is pretty well protected southwest of that, so that's great.
Yeah.
Well, going back to subject, Pleiadian lineup, it's a lot, you know. You all know I can go on for a while, but I happened to have a very good conversation with our dear Lavandar last Friday, wrapping up the Pleiadian lineup, and it was just beyond what I expected. You know, I don't have the time, but there were so many things revealed to me about what's happening of the logistics, not just for myself, but for our group and for a lot of the things that are going on in the planet. And actually, I sent some of you, I share a message from the Acturians of the work that they're doing right now. One of their fleets is arriving to help us out with the new moon next week and so many other items. So I think also the previous fellow here, I guess his name was John, what he shared is just the dimensional veils are being thinned out and they're just dropping right before our eyes. And so it looks like everything just come in full circle at once. I'm just very excited to be part of the family here and it looks like everything is just right on time. We're not caught by surprises. Nothing is creating or causing anxiety on any one of us. It's just like we know that this is happening. And talking to our one of our friends here also, Lida, a little while ago, we met briefly also to talk about things. And it looks like across the board, we can sense and we talked and shared, all of us, Starseeds, the sense of the great sense of expectation of things unfolding. So it's just like we just barely, the bubble is barely exploding right in front of us on so many fronts. There's so many items that we would like to get a grip on it, but sometimes it's just the juggling of the balls, like the clown in the circus. We got so many balls thrown up in the air, and we kind of want to get a grip on each one of those. And so I'm very excited that all of this is coming together. And like I said, I could go on for a while, but I'm sure there's plenty out there probably wanting to share their stories. So as for myself, it's very excited because I was a little bit concerned that I was pretty much put in a capsule of 18-month cycle, and I just with this Pleiadian lineup, I've just been released to really do and activate myself and the work that I came to do. So Lavendar and myself talk about so many details and the logistics of how is that going to be put together and how it's going to happen. So fairly soon, most of you all will see what part of that project is going to look like and what is going to be happening. So I'm really excited, and it's just like a boy with a new toy in a candy store, you know?
Uh-huh.
So that's pretty much in a nutshell what I wanted to share. You know, I don't want to go any much, you know, because I know we have the 2 hours, but I guess sometimes, just like last week, just to wrap up, I called in, but I was left in queue because, I mean, it was so tremendous last week's program with James, you know, that he really rocked the boat with the Starseed family. So I was very excited. I delighted, and I enjoyed that program very, very much. Hopefully one of these days we all will have a chance to make a caravan trip or something up to his ranch or something, you know, because I noticed that when he brought up the issue about the beings from Sirius, you know, the feline races, I could sense that quite a bit of the audience was kind of really in awe of these beings. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll have somebody who represents one of these races and will share a lot of information, who they are and what they do and what so forth. So I won't give that much more information. Lavendar will probably give you a heads up once they have the dates. But I'm very, very excited that so much information, so much activation in our DNA. And I can sense that, you know, the amplification of the DNA is so powerful that's why everywhere across the board, everyone I talk to, I chat, everybody's just feeling the acceleration of all of this in every angle. So I'm just excited, and I appreciate every one of you, all of those, you know, Lavendar, Ariel, Mystic, Purple Sage, Sierra, plus all the Starseed family. You know, most of you I don't know personally, but energetically and in energy and frequency, we already share the same space. So I wish you all the best, and I'm with you 24/7, and please receive my highest respect and honors. And I love you all very much. Thank you. Uh-huh.
Well, thank you, Felipe. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Felipe. You're a good one.
Okay, we have Dr. Meg with us. So let me get back up here and open up the mic. Dr. Meg, hello. You're on the air.
Hello, you beautiful goddesses. It's nice to be together again.
Wow, it's great to hear your voice.
Yeah, I just loved hanging out with y'all in Albuquerque and getting to know you better, and we had a great time, didn't we?
We sure did.
Amazing.
A lot of wonderful connections and networking.
Well, that's what I was going to say that I noticed the most about the time during the alignment was the synchronicities and the connections that were made. You know, I've been noticing it more and more, but particularly during that week, how people are coming together that have pieces of the story, pieces of the same information, perhaps maybe different perceptions, whatever. I mean, look at how all of us ended up in the same place the same weekend. And Colin Andrews was there and all these other great people, and not only were we all at the same place, but we really connected. And I think that, you know, a lot of times these alignments streamline things so that some of us come together, and when we do, you know, the energy goes exponential. I know you guys know that. Mm-hmm. So we don't always know what we're doing, but holy cow, that's all I can say, because it seems like after that the energies have really smoothed out quite a bit. It's almost like they've gone underground temporarily or something. It's like there's a, it's not a pause, but it's a, it's gone down to a slower rate, like the calm before the humongous next energy blast, is the way it seems to me. Are
yeah,
you guys feeling
I feel that?
That
too. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I feel like it. Well, of course, another big blast will be coming for us, you know, in June, and that's just next month.
Mm-hmm.
When some of the alignments happen, and I understand, you know, you're going to be in England for your crop circle tour. Tell us more about that.
Oh, I'd love to. I'm really excited about it. Catherine and Daniel Brinkley and I have gotten together, and really it's Catherine and my passion, and I think Daniel's definitely coming with us from the way I hear it. And anyway, we're going to be in England a good bit of the last half of July. The whole itinerary is on my website at spiritlight.com. That's spirit, LITE.com. And, gosh, we've got a private entrance to Stonehenge arranged. I don't know if everybody knows, but they don't let you just, like, go hang out in the stones anymore. And we've just rented the whole place for just around sunrise so that we can have that energy in the stones. And the Glastonbury Well, and I imagine we're going over to Avebury, and we're going to Glastonbury, and we're just going to do the whole crop circle thing. And we've got a vehicle on standby, and we're going to be checking the crop circle hotline every morning. There is such a thing. And as soon as we find out there's a new one in a field somewhere, we're going to hop on and go and get into them as fresh as possible. And so I see it kind of as a madcap adventure with a who knows what can happen, and those are always the best kind. So the itinerary is really loose. There's a list of where we plan to go, but it's hard to say when or what day because of it's going to depend on, you know, the crop circle appearances. And we're also going to work together as a group to see if we can communicate one onto the ground to see if they're going to hear us. I'm sure they will. So, yeah, Catherine and I are very excited about doing that.
Okay, great.
And I still have room. I definitely have room. It's not going to be a great big group. So any of those of you that might be a little intimidated by being in a huge group, this isn't that kind of a trip. It's going to be a really nice, intimate group of people that everybody can really, you know, get together and feel comfortable and not feel left out in the cold kind of thing. So I'd love to have you.
Well, I hope that those that are listening, if they have the inclination to go on this trip, that they will just respond and just go and have a great time. And I feel like, you know, there's a feeling about this trip that you're talking about, and that is that you're going to be witnessing something that maybe hasn't happened before. I feel like that for some reason you've been picked to do something, Meg, something of great importance. And I know that Colin said that he was going to try to join you. And
yeah, he's going to try. He's supposed to be there for another event, and if all of that works out, he's going to plan to spend some time with us. But I can't make any promises. It's kind of up to his schedule. But his intentions as of this now are to be with us he said he had some very special things he wanted to show us, so I hope it works out.
Right. So do you have anything else that has happened over the last two or three weeks that you could share with us, anything that would indicate an experience with the Pleiadians or something that you want to share?
It's not so much specifically with the Pleiadians, but something really remarkable that I've been seeing the last few weeks. Yeah, as some of your listeners know, and maybe not everybody does, but I'm multidimensionally gifted. I'm full sensory once I get out of body, and I can travel pretty much any level of reality. And what I've been seeing out there the last few weeks particularly is a gathering of galactic beings, different kinds. I don't know. I don't care. You could call them ETs. I don't care what you call them. But there's a whole lot of star people out there that are gathering and really, really paying a lot of attention to us and our reality right now. So I'm getting that is that something really significant is going on or about to happen. And I haven't gotten the rest of the story yet, but, boy, there are just scores of them, you know, every time I look, and it seems like each time I do that there are different and even more, and it's like it's they're telling me, here we go, it's a gathering. There's a gathering going on in multiple dimensions, and I do know that, you know, there's been a series of stargates opening. There are seven of them, and I'd have to look at my own channelings to tell you the names of which ones we're at now, because they're odd words. But anyway, we've been going through the fourth one, and the fifth one is just, we're coming up on that one just blowing open. And I don't know if it has to do with that and what the energies are going to do to us, and, you know, maybe create some events in our world as a result of that. Not bad things, don't go freaky on me, but you know, positive, you know, I don't really know, but there's something massive going on because of the attention we're getting on the other side.
Yeah, good. Also, you've invited me to be on your show tomorrow night. You want to give the listeners the
I can't wait
for that.
You know, you've been one of my top listened to guests this whole year, and it's just so awesome, you know, that you're coming back. And it's my show's called Cosmic Particles, and it's on the Awakening Zone on Wednesday nights at 6:30 Pacific. That's 9:30 Eastern time, and you can get to it on the Awakening Zone by going to awakeningzone.com. That's where you can get into the chat room with a lot of people too, or you can find it on Blog Talk if you want. But there's more to do on the Awakening Zone as far as getting involved with the show. And I will, I don't monitor the chat room on Blog Talk, but I do on Awakening Zone. So I'm often talking to you while I'm talking with, tomorrow night it will be Lavender. And I'm so excited you said you'd come back this soon. Everybody's just been raving about you, and I'm hearing great things and how accurate your readings are, and how excited everybody is to have appointments with you. So, wow, you know, good job.
I'm really looking forward to it, and I know that after Pleiadian lineup and all the energetics that you and I seem to experience together, we'll probably have some revelation that will happen tomorrow night. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too, because we've planned to talk about some things we haven't talked about with an audience yet. So I think it's, who knows where that show's going to go. I'm excited.
Beyond the beyond.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with y'all, and I'm not going to be able to stay for the whole show. I wish I could. But,
well, thank you so much, Meg, for taking the time to talk with us tonight. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, and hey to everybody out there. Have a great night. I'll see you tomorrow night, Lavender.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
bye,
thanks,
girl.
Dr. Meg.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's always good to hear from her, and I know that that she's been one of our most listened to guests as well on the shows that she did, I guess it was a couple months ago with us. So I want to check in with the chat room here. And Mystic, would you please press 1 on your phone, because I think this is your number, but I'm not quite sure. Mystic, press 1 on your phone so I can pick up for you. Oh, there you are. Okay, that is you. Is this you, Mystic?
It's me. How are you?
I'm good. I recognize the prefix, but not the rest of the number. So, do you...
Well, we have a ton... You wanted to talk about the chat room, right?
Yes, questions from the chat room as well as your own experiences from this past meeting lineup.
Oh, it's been amazing. I'll tell you, the chat room is a buzz. In fact, we have been sort of prompting a couple of our chat family along to call in this evening and share some of their experiences, because they have some amazing things going on. There have been a couple of people who have had a very similar experience to John's. And so how amazing is that, to find out that this sort of phenomena is happening you know, across and all over the world to various people. So we've got a couple of people that look like, I know in fact one of them should be in queue. So we're trying to prod them along to call in and share. They haven't been posting too much of their experiences up here. They've really been engaged in a lot of what's happening you know, through the stories that are being shared. But it's just amazing. A lot of folks are talking about the fact that we are all being aligned together to do the work that we need to do. Just a lot of activity. So this show certainly does have the attention of our chat family. Let's see if we can actually hear some voices and put some voices to the screen names. I think that would be awesome.
Right, right. And we do want to hear your story, too.
Oh, sure. Wow, well, you know, first of all, you know, I'm so excited by the stories that have been shared so far, and I look forward to seeing the picture of the stone that Tammy talked about earlier. And John, I wish he would have taken a picture. That would have been pretty phenomenal. But I'll give you a brief synopsis. Over the past week, and really it started last Monday, there was quite a rather rapid but gradual increase in my personal capabilities. And if you all remember, I know Lavendar, Ariel, Sierra, I've shared with you my story overall, and that was one in which I, you know, at one time had amazing capabilities and then basically went through a period of what I call an 8-year shutdown. And I understand the purpose for that and now have come over the other side of that. And starting last Monday, there were some real activations taking place, skills returning, memories returning. There were a ton of doors that were opened. The thing that I found the most interesting, though, is that a lot of these activations happened in the most unexpected way, and they essentially came through questions from sometimes the most average person. So I'll share with you really briefly what happened. Starting Monday of last week, I had decided that I was going to effectively open the doors to what I call a healing practice. I'm a certified Reiki master and do a lot of other workshops around meditations and what I call spiritual evolution. And I hadn't done it in several years, so I decided I was going to start this past Monday. And had a couple of clients come over, and one of them was a young lady that I've known for the better part of 10 years. And she showed up on Monday, and we had a session, and the session went fine. Wasn't absolutely fantastic in my opinion, but went really well. Then she came back on Tuesday. And Monday evening, Lavendar, I didn't share this with you when we had an opportunity to talk, but one of the things that I'm now remembering is that it seemed as though every night when I went to bed, although I would go to bed really early with my children, I seemed to have a very difficult time the following morning waking up as if my body was sore, I was exhausted. You'd think I had gone and run a marathon, but I'd get up the next day and not pay much attention to it. Tuesday rolled around, and some memories had returned to me in terms of how to better prepare, things that I used to do several years ago before I went through shutdown. And so I did those things. And following that that healing session, my friend sat up on the table. I actually had to help her up. She looked over at me and she said, "I can't even begin to tell you." She said, "I just wish I could put into words the degree of the difference between the powers that came out of your hands yesterday and just now." She said, I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say. And she shared with me that as opposed to Monday, this time she actually had different sensations. She was feeling a lot of vibrations throughout her body. Well, Wednesday rolled around, and, you know, all of a sudden, my intuitive capabilities seemed to go on high alert. And so I was following some of the messages that were being sent to me with regard to her session, had her do a couple of things, particularly as it related to connecting with Mother Earth. And prior to the session, I had her sit next to a window and stare out the back window and take a real good look at nature, just stare at nature. And we went into the session, and we came out and, again, had to help her up. And I sat her on the chair next to the healing table, and she looks at me, and she cocks her head to the side, and she says, "Who are you?" And she said, I don't know how to explain this. She said, every day I come, it's magnified double, triple times what it was the day before. She said, "Who are you?" She said, "I had experiences this time, and she started sharing with me the things that she was seeing as the healing was taking place, and I could see those very same things, although I didn't share them with her until afterwards. And when she asked that one simple question, all of these memories came flooding back when she said, "Who are you?" And suddenly, I started to remember. And I won't go into gory detail, but it became very clear to me who I was. And Ariel, I shared that with you. And it was a really wonderful feeling. Well, following that experience, she went home. I had some other work to do and had received an email from Colin Andrews. We had been corresponding back and forth regarding that whole crop circle experience years ago. And in his email, he asked one simple question. Now, remember, I told you these activations are coming through the form of the question. The first activation was, "Who are you?" And there was a wild buzz that went through my body when she asked that before all the information came flooding back in the memories. Then that evening, I received a question from Colin Andrews that was embedded in his email. And the question was, "What did you get from that symbol? And what have you done with the information?" And my mind went crazy. I spent probably about 20 minutes being really disappointed that I realized, gosh, over the years, Mystic, you really haven't done anything with this. And then suddenly something shut that off in my mind after about 20 minutes and said, "Go to work." So I just got up, went and sat down at the computer, did some work, and all of a sudden two pieces of information came to me almost out of nowhere. And they had to do with tones. And they had to do with another specific symbol that was embedded within that Barbary Castle crop circle symbol, that equilateral triangle, the tetrahedron. And so next thing I know, the next day, my friend is coming over. This is Thursday. And this time I had her sit down at my computer. Poor thing. She's so open to trying new things. And so she walked in, and I sat her down, and I put this animated symbol. I made sure it was animated. I put it on the screen, and I set that tone on the computer, and I said, "For 7 minutes, all I want you to do is relax your body. I need you to stare at that symbol and listen to that tone, and once you're done, you come up to the healing room." And I said, "And we're not going to speak about it." And so she did that. She comes up into the room. Now, what I managed to do was all of a sudden this information started coming back on how to use this symbol. So I took that animated symbol. I surrounded her body with it. I surrounded my body with it. And envisioning at the same time, everything is animated. Everything is moving. I surrounded the room with it. And then I put one of those animated symbols in the palms of both of my hands and proceeded to do the work. When I got to, those of you who have any background in Reiki, when I got to her feet, I was reminded of something that I could do years ago that I was terrified of trying, but the fear this time had left my body. And so for whatever reason, I was being led to do it. And the long and short of what happened was the energy that was coming out of my hands in combination with the symbols and the tone that I was projecting through her body caused her body to levitate up off of the bed, off of the table, rather.
Oh,
now, I didn't say anything to her. I didn't say a word to her.
Did she know?
When it was a, what's that?
Did she know?
Oh, I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
So, I again, I had to help her off of the table. And she sits down again and she looks at me. And again, she's cocking her head and she's got that look in her eyes of, really? I mean, you know, and she says, I'm speechless. And she starts to share with me that not only did she get the buzzing sensation, she got what felt like gentle electric shocks. She got colors. She got images. And then she looked at me and she said, and I swear, Mystic, she said, when you were down by my feet, she said, it felt like I had raised 45 degrees up off of the table. She said, I don't know how to explain it. She said, it felt like the only thing that was holding me there were your hands. And so I had her just sit and I looked at her and we talked about it for a while. And then she looked at me and she said, was I off of the table? And I said, you were off of the table. She said, who am I? And so then that information started coming. And she wanted more information on her path and our paths, and I told her I couldn't give that to her at this moment. So then after that session, as if that wasn't enough, the house is abuzz with energy. And I go back to my computer, and I'm doing some work, and I'm getting back to my response to Colin. And, of course, it's around evening this time. Now, mind you, before the session with my client, I had unplugged the phone from the wall in order to make sure that nothing rang. As I'm sitting there and I am typing this response to Colin, the phones in the house start beeping. And I'm like, okay, what, really? What's going on? And this sort of stuff never seems to startle me, but I look over and I look at the phones and they're flashing a message across the screen and the message says, check connection incoming call. So I just get up and I go and I plug the phone and I walk back over to my desk and the phone rings. It's Sierra. And so we have a fantastic conversation. Fast forward after that, I think the following day, you know, Lavendar had told me quite a while ago, and for those of you who have not had an opportunity to have a chart read, as Dr. Meg mentioned earlier, the charts that you have read with Lavendar and RAL really are amazing. And not only do they help you to reconnect with and understand who you are, the activations that take place during those meetings are amazing, and they're very meaningful. So I highly recommend, if you haven't done it, please do so. If you've been questioning who you are, take some action and start finding out. Now's the time. And so Lavendar told me during one of our initial readings, she said, Jen, you are very protected. You're very much protected. And so the day after that session showed up and I go into the backyard to meet with one of my neighbors who has a mother in town who insists that she's a psychic, and she decides to grab my hand and starts to share information. Unfortunately, all the information that she decides to share isn't very pleasant, and it's not very positive. And those of us who know better know that when you go to share information, if you're here to empower people and help the planet and help one another, you know, it's okay to notice where we have weaknesses. But the point is you need to focus on the positive to put the focus there, to help them put the focus there. Needless to say, after I spent some time allowing her to talk with me, I went back in the house and I felt very low. Well, almost immediately, I get an email from a new friend that says, I think we need to talk. I haven't talked to her yet. And so I decided to go ahead and pick up the phone and talk with her. And I warned her beforehand. I said, you know, I'm really not sure I'm in a good place for this right now, but let's do it. So we get on the phone, and it was right as Lavendar had shared with me a while back, that when those moments that are challenging to me, and we all know that once you start getting activated, you become a beacon, and that beacon's going to draw all kinds of things in your direction. And so what ended up happening, Ariel, is that this new friend swooped in through divine presence, swooped in and picked me right back up, put me right back where I needed to be. And then the next day, of course, I have a meeting with Lavendar, which was fantastic. because the very first words out of her mouth after I shared that experience with her were the most wonderful and welcome spiritual spanking that I have had in years. And it had to do with being very specific, not letting negative things in your space, and having the wherewithal to stand up and look at them and say, this doesn't serve me, and walk away. She proceeded to do some additional charts for me, and Ariel, you've done them too, and they have been incredibly, incredibly helpful. And she pulls up my transits. And before we even start the session, she's led to do take me through an activation, and that's the only word I can use for it. She takes me through an activation. And in that process, it took me back to months ago when I had I just referred to him as the golden guy who was sitting at the foot of my bed, show up and really start downloading me. Well, when she takes me through this process and is given specific codes that she is then, her voice changed, and she's sending these codes through my body. My body is vibrating at a frequency that I hadn't had since the golden guy. And she's sharing this information with me. And I walked away from that experience with some fantastic new knowledge that couldn't have been more accurate and more on time. And it's almost as though following that, everything just really began to soar. That evening in bed, and I'm really not going to go into detail because I'm a little embarrassed, but that evening as I was going to sleep, and I'm sure many people have had this experience, there was something that that entered my room that created a level of amazement in every cell and every core of my body. I wish I could explain it. And I went to bed, and I have tons of, you know, it felt like I went to bed and woke back up and, of course, was very sore. And, of course, the days since then have been absolutely amazing. But overall, this Pleiadian lineup was a reminder and a switch back on, which was something I had been looking for the past several years. So that's really it. I apologize if it was long-winded.
Oh, it was worth every word. It was so much. I'm sure that people can identify with a lot of what you say, and you know, because you've gone through a scenario that it's unique to you, but yet it's the way things work with Starseed.
Right. There are so many people that I'm hearing from over and over again, Ariel, that talk about, you know, they feel as though they're going through this horrible shutdown phase, and that they can't seem to really get things moving. And I'm telling them, just be patient. Just be patient.
Yeah, you know,
it'll get turned back on.
There's an ebb and flow. To me, I've always said that, you know, for every valley, there's a mountain. And sometimes, and because the nature of the universe is balance, then when you feel like you're going lower and lower and you're depressed and you're lonely and you're isolated and you feel like, think of yourself as the rock in a slingshot, and it's pointed up towards the heavens, but in order to get up there, you have to stretch that rubber band way, way down, and the farther down you go, sometimes I almost get excited going, man, something really great is going to come,
right?
Because I'm so far down now, and that thing flies, you know, it's going to be meteoric. So
exactly.
That's kind of a way to think about it, because I do get a lot of comments, I know as you do, about, you know, people are, things are challenging, but number one, you wouldn't be here if you couldn't handle it. You had to qualify to be here, and that you're never alone. You're always protected, and you just have to keep your alignment and commitment and your intent on the truth of your own soul.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right, and that in and of itself has the potential to be challenging every day. But I'll tell you, if you take those words that that Lavendar shared with me this past weekend, somebody shares something with you that brings you down or a thought enters your mind that takes you off course, simply use it and just simply say, that does not serve me. And understand you may be going through a quiet time, but, you know, as Ariel shared, you know, you're going to rebound from it in an even greater way.
Right, right. Well, thank you so much, Jen. That is amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing story. And to have it happen over Pleiadian lineup, I'm sure is no coincidence.
Right, right.
And do we have people from the chat room that have questions or stories or anything that we can address?
I have to tell you, I'm trying to take a look now. Give me just 1 second. I had to step away in order to be able to look. I haven't seen any yet, but I'm having to catch up because I really did have to step away for just a moment.
Right, right. Okay, well, do you want to just catch up and I'll check back with you? We have two more callers that we have invited to come, and they are on hold right now. So let me pick up one of them, and then I'll come back to you.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Please do. Uh-huh.
Okay. Thanks so much, Mystic. Okay. We are going to hear from Mr. Joseph Portal as soon as I sift through this switchboard here. There you are. Hello, Joseph. You're on the air.
Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hi.
So tell us about your Pleiadian lineup.
Well, I wish I had more time. I've been on queues for an hour, and I have to leave in about 10 minutes to get to a rehearsal. But let me tell you what happened to me. Last week, I was in Albuquerque again, interestingly enough, and I was there for a consultation for a surgical procedure, which I will be doing a little bit later on. But for some reason, it was decided not to do it at the time, and as the day unfolded, I understood why. As I headed back up north on Highway 84 to get back up to where I live, I was listening to the show, and because of the mountains, it would come in and go out and come in and go out, and I was getting frustrated because I really wanted to hear what James Gilliland had to say. But as I came to the top of a rise, there before me in the sky was the most amazing sight I think I've ever seen in my life. There was this huge cloud, which must have been miles long, 4 or 5 miles long, and I knew instantly that it was concealing a mothership. And all around it were these exactly the same size, smaller clouds, which were the scout ships, which were all around it. And it was right above the place where I live, and Lavendar had told me that's where the Star of Bethlehem hangs out. And I knew that's what I was seeing.
Wow.
It was absolutely breathtaking. So if I'd stayed down in Albuquerque at the VA hospital, I would have missed all of that.
Wow. So the mothership was hanging out in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. Well, Lavendar told me that it frequently does.
Uh-huh.
And it was, I thought, of course, of all of us from just a couple of weeks before when we'd all been in Albuquerque together.
Uh-huh.
And it was like the whole group was there, and I said, look at it, gang. Isn't that spectacular?
Wow. Wow. And was it in your view for quite some time?
Oh, yeah. All the way
wow.
till I got home, which was another hour.
Wow. Well, that's got to be very exciting to behold. And for those who may not understand or realize that the ships have the very often technique that they use is to generate a cloud so that, you know, because they don't want to scare people, so they generate
right.
a cloud, so they just look like a cloud. But the cloud will be perfectly symmetrical.
Yeah.
you know, and the little scout ships with all with their little clouds were also, you know, they were clouds, but they were not clouds. They were just a generation of, a cloud formation around them, but it clings,
right.
It clings to them magnetically, I guess, so that the cloud actually looks like a saucer or a cigar or whatever shape the ship is, right?
Yeah. They were all, the scout ships were all exactly the same size, and there must have been 50 of them at least around the big mothership.
Wow.
I'm not talking about one or two. I'm talking about a sky full of these little ships.
Wow. Too bad you didn't have a video camera.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
But it reassured me that I'm in exactly the right place, and I was definitely participating in the Palladian lineup. So.
Mm.
And that I knew from the chart that Levendar did for me. I mean, on my natal chart, it goes right through the middle of my chart, the Palladian lineup. So.
Uh-huh. Well, no doubt that you are in alignment with them. And it would be interesting to see what new events unfold in your life, because remember that while you're looking at them, they're looking at you.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She saw me that, too.
Yeah, right. Well, Joseph, I'm so glad that we did get a chance to talk to you. I know that you have some place that you need to be. And I know you're in a stage production, right?
Right, yeah.
So when I say break a leg, you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. And I
but
just wanted to tell you personally how much I enjoyed that night that you played for us at that Greek restaurant. That was amazing.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. I'm glad that we got a chance to do that, and I got a chance to sing for everybody.
I am too.
Yeah.
But you have a gorgeous voice, but the thing that impresses me so much is that you can sit there and play so well while you're singing so magnificently. That's a gift of, as far as I'm concerned, enormous proportions. So thanks for sharing it.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I say, yeah, that was it is a gift, but there is a lot of work went into being able to do that, because I wasn't just born being able to do it. I had to remember how to do it and train my fingers.
Yeah.
So, but I'm so glad that you were there and you got to be part of our experience there in Albuquerque.
Oh, I am too.
Okay.
I hope
we
get this thing together sometime.
Oh, that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. So we have a great rehearsal tonight. And
thank you, dear.
It is a rehearsal, right?
Yes, the South Pacific.
Okay.
Yeah, we're
okay.
In the middle of our rehearsals.
Okay. Well, have a great rehearsal, and we'll talk to you soon, sweetie.
Thank you,
Joseph.
Bye, darling.
Bye-bye.
Bye to everybody.
Okay, let me check back with Mystic. Hello, Mystic. We're back.
Hey there. Well, thanks to Joe's story, we have a ton of people who apparently saw the same thing. There were a ton of sightings around with regard to those ships. One of the folks here said they were even able to see them in Belgium. So apparently it happened around the world.
Wow.
We're talking about the cloud ships that have flat bottoms. They were seeing them for about a half an hour or more, some as huge as a mothership. So some really fantastic things happening out there, and folks had a ton of sightings, it would seem. There is, and let me catch up just a moment, somebody said they even saw one lighting up last night. So some really great experiences for folks. There was one question. Apparently somebody's having quite a bit of experiences seeing and working with quantum field energy. They're seeing it as a bluish energy bubble that has a lot of energy inside of it, and it will surround you and whomever you're working with. And they wanted to know specifically from you ladies if you all are experiencing anything like this, or if you've been seeing anything like this through Pleiadian lineup, and what have your experiences been?
Well, I can't say that I have seen or experienced that. Levendar?
Sierra?
No, I have not experienced that during this Pleiadian lineup, no.
Have you experienced it during other lineups?
Yes, it has come at different times. When I was in Cairo, Egypt, in 83, I got to experience that.
And how did you interpret or use it?
It was just an activation of, you know, of knowingness and being able to stay really true on my path. You know, everything that's come to me just reminds me of alignment all the time. And it's not anything in particular that I, you know, delve into or try to analyze in, you know, to try to find out more about it. I just know it's there and I just use it.
And it could be had different purpose for different people.
That's true.
Well, I tell you, it seems as though that should certainly help to answer the question for the person who asked in the chat room. It seems as though that was certainly some form of activation for them. Now it's a matter of being able to quiet in oneself and listen for the messages, begin to align with and feel those messages coming through. But that's really it. Still a ton. Somebody wants to specifically say thank you, Lavendar, for the clarity that you're providing on these shows. And there's still a ton of talk around these ships, and I'm still nudging people to tell them to call in. But there's, you know, just a lot around just sightings everywhere, all over the place. It seems that almost everybody on here has seen these ships lately.
I've actually seen a lot of. I'm sorry. I just want to jump in here. We've been seeing a lot of them in the Sedona area over the last couple of weeks. Now, from what I understand, there is a couple of motherships that actually park permanently over the Sedona area, Ashtar's ship or something to that nature. But I can tell you personally, I've seen an extraordinarily high volume of ships coming and going in the area that I'm at right now.
Well, there has to be just an enormous number of ships because, remember, every single starseed on the planet has a team that has agreed to monitor and help them. And so you did not come here completely alone without any kind of support team back home. But you have to be in alignment to connect with them. And to activate them, you have to ask three times. So, little tidbit there. Okay, well, Mystic, we're going to take another call from Tekaylee, and then I will come back if you have more people. And if you do have an experience to share and you're on the switchboard already, you need to press 1 to flag us that you're just, you know, more than listening. You want something to say something. And if you call,
hey, Ariel.
Yes.
I wanted to let you know Tekaylee was one of our chat room folks who we were able to talk into calling in. So we're really excited, all of us, to hear one of our chat room voices.
Okay. Well, she's coming at you now.
Perfect.
Okay. Tekaylee, you are on the air.
Aloha, Ariel. Aloha, everyone. I'm so pleased to be able to share from my trip.
Yes.
It was very, very phenomenal. There were 4 of us. And we ended up taking on the role of a particular goddess from the 4 elements and wove together through the ceremony. The heart linking was incredible. And all through this process, we were being monitored and assisted by the Pleiadians, of course. And we could feel them. We didn't see them, but we certainly felt their presence. There were a few cloud ships around. And when we did the final ceremony at dawn on Mount Haleakala, we created this incredibly beautiful ceremony. And the energy was so strong. We brought a beam of light down and through the center of our circle. We had crystals there. And we had to step back because the beam was just getting enormous. But the message that we got after that experience was really what made it so beautiful for me, which was that because we had put so much work into it, because we had taken so much time to really get ourselves in a great alignment for that ceremony, we were instrumental in shifting what's happening with the galactics in terms of the Earth, in the sense that there's been this policy of direct intervention only in certain situations, and now that has been lifted to some degree, is the message that we received, that because of what we were doing, now whoever makes a request of the Pleiadians or of any of the galactics, and to some degree this was true before, but apparently now it's being lifted to a much greater degree to have this shift really moving through. I call it the shift, you guys call it the disclosure, but it's really much the same thing. And what's happening is that those who are ready are going to be really activated and given much more in terms of their personal experience. Whatever you can handle is going to come at you, and or to you, I should say, and all of us can really participate by being in a huge state of love. When I was channeling the message, there was so much love I could barely speak. It was just phenomenal. The tears, the emotion was just profound, and we were being sincerely thanked for what we had done. So that was really special. And it's a beautiful place. I would go there anytime. And when you get the chance to do something like this, just go and do it, because you're called and you need to go, and it will be what it needs to be in that moment. I'm so glad I got to do it.
And we're That's so happy that you did. Yes. Well, are you still in the chat room, Tekaylee?
Yes, I am.
Well, to everyone that is in the chat room, we really appreciate your continued support and your questions and coming back every week. And if you do have any other stories to share, now would be the time.
Well, I have been seeing a lot of cloud ships, and funnily enough, on the mountain, someone else with their camera took masses of orbs. I never seem to have the knack of catching them, but this other lady had orbs all over the place at the time we were doing the ceremony, and someone else came and planted a huge crystal just within a couple of feet of where we had the center of our circle. So there's synchronicities going on, and each of us is playing our part, and I can't wait for every bit of the what's happening to unfold. I really feel that there is activation and acceleration going on that's much stronger now than before. And my body has been buzzing nonstop since, well, all during that time and ever since. And I have been going through emotional roller coasters trying to deal with it and come to put myself into greater love so that I can do what I need to do. And it's really a phenomenal time.
Well, that is summing it up. It is a phenomenal time, and I think that this year the activations are going beyond Pleiadian lineup, because the timeline is moving, it seems, at a faster rate. And I had someone ask through email about when things are going to be happening. And I have to say, and as Lavendar has said before, that it's about a sequence of events. It's not like picking a date on the calendar and say, okay, it's then, because there's a sequence of events that has to happen to precede it. And if those events take longer or shorter, then the day of culmination would be adjusted accordingly.
Yeah, so, there's no point in them coming if we're not ready. And there's... we are ready, but we need to be sharing and creating a broader base of information for people who are curious and wanting to find out about things.
Right, and you know, and people are saying that, you know, when is first contact going to happen? And I'm thinking, contact has been happening for centuries, And especially, yes. You know, recently in the last 50 years, it's happening left and right. All the stories and the people that we've, you know, talked to tonight, contact has already happened. The only question is when is the global government going to, you know, admit it? So that's what we're calling disclosure, and you're calling the shift. And when that happens is when a lot of starseed are going to really be launched into action, because it's our job to remain balanced and steady and to be beacons of light for those who are not yet awake or are, you know, fearful. And that's one mission that we all share.
Absolutely. I just remembered one detail from the ceremony. As we'd finished, a white pigeon flew over our heads. Now, at that elevation, I don't know how it got up there. It wasn't a dove exactly. It was more like a pigeon, but, oh, my goodness, it was a lovely gesture.
Well, it was. If it was a real pigeon or not,
it was.
That's probably the question. No, I mean, it could have been, a holographic or a spirit pigeon or a mechanical pigeon. But the fact that it showed up was the message, I guess, more so than what kind of pigeon was it or what kind of bird was it, but it was a message that you took note of and that you got the message.
Yes.
You did get the message.
Absolutely.
Well, we are so glad that you had a wonderful trip, and if you have pictures to share, you can post them on the forum, and I know that everyone would love to see that.
Okay, I will. I haven't even got to my camera yet.
Well, all things in time. I'm sure that there's an adjustment period for you, because that was quite an expenditure of energy on your part that, you know, you kind of need to equalize yourself and then tackle the pictures and follow-up and all that. But thank you so much, Kaylee.
Thank you.
We do appreciate your calling and being in the chat room. Thanks.
Mahalo.
Bye-bye.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, 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 ladies. I'm going to go back to Mystic here. Okay, Mystic, you're back on the air. Do we have any other people from the chat room that would like to share?
Really, there's been just a lot of talk about the ship still, but one of the points that DeKaylee just brought up, having to do with the pigeon in the end, somebody wanted to know, what is the meaning behind seeing black crows? Wanted to get some input there as it relates to, you know, all of this.
Well, if I saw a black crow, I would interpret it in Native American terms, because crow medicine represents the law. Sierra, you're more of you're our Native American resident here. What would you?
The crow, depending on the different Native American belief systems, and the Cherokee belief system, depending on if that Native American crow is a part of your medicine. But the Native American, the crow, and broadly through all Native American beliefs, represents magic and synchronicity.
Yep.
Back. It always says that, and like if a raven appears to me, and especially is drawn to me and is talking to me, it is a symbol that I'm on the right track, that events and synchronicities will line up for the mission. So I'm always looking for ravens. They're also a part of my totem. But generally, it's magic and synchronicity.
Gotcha.
Okay, and ravens and crows, are they just two different words for the same thing?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for that. And that certainly is relevant. Certainly is relevant.
Right.
I mean, a white bird is a very symbolic thing as well for a love vibration, a message of love and unity, which is, you know, it's why they use them for weddings. So, okay, we're going to look for, I think we have some more callers to get to. And Mystic, I'm going to put you back on hold, and then I'll check back in with you before the end of the show, which we have about 10 or 15 minutes before we'll be wrapping up. Okay?
Sure, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mystic. And Sierra, you did say that you had a story that you might like to share if there were time.
Yes, that would be great. So I have just moved to the Sedona area just in time for Pleiadian lineup, which was really nice. And I just got my RV trailer moved onto the 10 acres that I have out there. And what started happening for me was a lot of craft sighting at nighttime and actually during the day. But after listening to our interview with James last week, I went outside at nighttime and I basically looked up into the sky and looked up into the lights. You can see all the stars out there and it's absolutely amazing. And I telepathically reached out and I said, if there are any craft in the area, I'd like to communicate with you. And just directly, probably a quarter of a mile in front of me, where there's open desert, as if someone turned on a bright spotlight. It came up really slowly and it was pointed right at me. And it was very bright, and I just blinked at it, and I said, I'm right here. It kind of blinked a couple of times, and then it faded back down again. And I was walking around a couple nights later, and I did the same exercise, reaching out to see if there's, of course, I followed it up with not just any old, you know, spacecraft and others that are out there, but I said, ones that are aligned with the highest good of the planet, and, you know, did my whole prep speech first before that. I didn't just open myself up to anybody. And then right behind me, there was a light on the house where my RV trailer is parked in front of, and it's like a huge bird flew by the light, and I could hear it fly by, almost like a very large owl or something. And I turned around, and I said, oh, okay, so you're here. That's really great. So I stood there because I said that I was ready to receive the extraterrestrials on the third dimension plane because I do a lot of, you know, traveling on ships and stuff, but I am leaving my body when I'm going and doing that. But I waited and waited for something to materialize, and finally I said, well, either I'm not ready or you're not the right thing. And I turned around and I walked into my RV, and I locked the door and I said, well, you're welcome to come in if you'd like, but only if you're X, Y, and Z. And I locked the door and I went into my trailer and then I went up towards the front and I got into my little room and I have a curtain that separates my room from the rest of my living space, my trailer. And when I came in the trailer and I started to get ready for bed, my cat went straight up to the door and sat there and just stared at the door. Now, normally my cat smothers me as soon as I walk in. And she just sat at the door, staring out for the longest time. I said, okay, Simmy, that's her name. You're starting to wig me out now. Come on, let's get ready for bed. Let's go to bed. So I got in bed, and I closed my curtain, and she wouldn't come to bed for the longest time. And finally, she did come in with me, and I looked out between the curtain and the wall, and there was a blue, bright, floating ball of light in the living space. And then I started to get really tired, and I said, well, I'm tired now. I'm going to go to bed. And so I laid down, and I went to sleep, and I went out of body, and I started playing with this being, and it was just fun. And the whole night was like playing amongst the stars. I had the sensation of flying in and being in a spacecraft, because one of my little fun things that I said that I always wanted to do is I wanted to pilot a UFO. Yeah. And so this entire night was just full of playing and having fun with this being, and then I woke up the next morning. But the entire time that Pleiadian lineup and actually starting about, that was that experience, but starting probably a week before Pleiadian lineup started, I was on ship of Star Bethlehem, and I was actually up there, and it was pretty much a kind of a solemn or a toned-down type of feeling across all of the beings that were gathered there. And it was very sort of formal and very I woke up and I had a conversation with Labanar. I was wondering why things were so solemn because I didn't experience it that way in the past. And we had a conversation about the earth changes that were coming and all the different species that were in charge of their own bloodlines, having all the different, you know, talking about what was to come and what was happening. And, you know, it was just a whole lineup of it seemed like a lot of work. It seemed like this time it was a lot of, well, let's get together and have a big powwow about all this. So I did a lot of work during that time, but that was the kind of fun in the third dimension thing that I had to share.
Wow. Well, that would be a wonderful balance point from the seriousness of the work that you've been doing prior to that.
It was. And I just like to have fun sometimes, you know.
Well, it's very important. It's very important because we have so much responsibility as starseeds, and we're driven so many times that if you don't, and remember when you're having fun and you're laughing, your vibration is higher than when you're not having fun and laughing. I mean, just your vibration just shoots right up when there's laughter. So it's a good release and a balance point for the seriousness of the work that we're doing. So thank you so much, Sierra.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. We have a few more callers, and we also have a Belvelation on deck. Lavendar, which direction do you want to go?
Well, let's do a Belvelation. I think it's only about 3 minutes, and then if we have a caller that wants to call in.
We do have some more callers that are waiting, and so we're going to take just a 3-minute break here and have our Belvelation. Of course, those of you that don't know Belva Bloomer, who is one of our dear starseed sisters, who is our resident health expert, and each week she has a little tidbit for you for maintaining your physical body, which is just as important because if you don't have a car, you're not going anywhere. Okay, so here's our Belvelation for this week. And this is read by Lavendar.
This is Lavendar. And Belva Bloomer sent me her Belvelation for today. And it's called Detoxification. Our world has become a toxic environment. Exposure to heavy metals, pesticides, chemicals, preservatives, and stimulants has pushed our body cleansing and elimination functions to the limit. In many patients, one or more of the primary organs, like the liver, lymphatic system, kidneys, lungs, intestines, blood, or skin, have become overloaded and inefficient in the removal of toxins. Unfortunately, most Americans are oblivious to these challenges and continue to live a lifestyle that will perpetrate health problems. As healers, practitioners, we need to utilize effective mechanisms for evaluation and assessment of the body's burden, provide patient education, and offer practical solutions for a lifetime of change. One well-researched method is clinical purification with a concentration on a restricted whole food diet with supporting nutritional supplements. This approach safely reduces weight, assists in the regulation of blood sugar, reduces inflammatory responses, and positively affects serum lipid levels. With a saliva sample health report, I teach you the importance of proper clinical procedures for detoxification. And with each suggested supplement, I explain its accomplishment concerning your individual health problems. This is time when learning and understanding is more important than ever. Our body is the vehicle for this particular lifetime, and we're facing toxins that did not exist in past years. Chemical sprays applied to the seeds of the foods we consume will bring additional life-threatening poisons into the lives of our children. The money brought to the pharmaceutical companies for issuing well-publicized drugs to combat the effects of these toxins helps the stock market, but not our good health or our bank account. It is time to be wise, to treat the cause of health problems rather than suffering the effects and trying to compensate a miserable illness with supplements. So, I understand that a lot of people have been asking more and more about what does Belva do with her saliva test. Well, she takes your saliva and she tests it, and it will determine through her test what toxins are in your body. And then she has the ability to assess that and put you on the path of health. I have witnessed over 30 years Belva helping thousands and thousands of people. So if you want to have this assessment, go on our website, www.starseedhotline.com, and click on Belva and ask for an evaluation, and time spent with her is most valuable. And so do you, Ariel. Back to you.
Well, thank you, Lavendar. Thank you, Belva. And it is an important thing to take care of our health because of all the demands that we're making, not only spiritually, but physically. And we do have a few more callers that we want to try to get through. The switchboard is very full tonight, as it has been for the past several weeks here, which is really great because it means that we have people participating and calling in. We're going to talk to, this is Dennis. Hello, Dennis. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing fine.
Good. Goodness.
Dennis, I don't know if you can hear me, but your connection is really
bad.
Really, really bad. So we can't understand a word you're saying. You want to hang up and call back in again, see if you can get a better line?
All right. Right. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Wow. It almost sounded like he was calling from outer space. Okay. we only have a few minutes to go here, and we also, let's see, we have Tricia with us. Hello, Tricia. You're on the air, and I'm going to have to ask you to be brief. So tell us about your Pleiadian lineup.
Oh, yes, I will. Actually, what I wanted to ask, and if anybody has seen this, has anybody been following the event, the TV series? Because last night, in the very end, when the world appeared out in space, I burst into tears. And I have spoken to you about seeing the two Earths. It was so overwhelming. And when we were just talking about this disclosure and you're thinking things like this, I've been following the series. I'm a screenwriter, you know that, right? So I've been following it to see what information that they've been putting out there in subtle ways and storylines. It's unbelievable how much stuff is in there that is so realistic. I mean, but in the same way, they have this antagonist, protagonist coming at the good, bad, bad guys. But they've done it really cleverly. They've done it with both parties, both in government and the aliens, which I thought was very wise. 2 days or 3 days before that, when the space shuttle was up in the sky, they had a view on the news of Earth from the satellite looking down. And I got hit with a blast of energy that was the same thing. That shot me on the couch when I saw it, and I went, whoa, I've seen that too, from that perspective. So those are the kind of things that were lining up. But during the Pleiady, I love that James was talking about the cat people the other day, because the same thing, it turned up in my meditation about a week and a half ago. I had this little movie going of this face with hair and ears, but a human face, and there are all these people around them the same. And they left, and they were just smiling. I'm writing about a character that was sort of like that, and I thought it was my character from my writing that I was seeing. Like, oh, yeah, you do exist. So thank you, James, if you're listening. That was a great confirmation. And girls, I'll let you go. I'll go.
Well, thank you. And I do agree that a lot of information is being leaked out, so to speak, through the television and screen media. But
we always have to keep in mind that they're, what is the word? They don't really know what's going on. It just kind of shows up. It gets channeled through them. And I do see a lot of things, especially on the event, that just really irritates me because, you know, always ETs are always being portrayed as the, you know, the evil, the bad guy, and that's because it serves some powers to for us to think that. But it's not the truth. So there. Okay. I'm going to check back in one more time with the chat room. Hang on a second. Okay, Mystic, I'm checking back in for last chance for questions, comments.
There really isn't much. Just a lot of people being, you know, tying into the information that's being shared. Folks talking about going and getting with Belva, and folks were really excited to hear Tricia on air as well. She's one of our chat family here. So, so you know, there's I'm not really seeing much in terms of questions.
Okay, well that's fine. I just wanted to check one last time. So thank you so much, Mystic, for your work in the chat room, and thanks to everyone in the chat room for being there. So I'm going to move on. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Lavendar, I think I might like to give a really short synopsis of a different kind of Pleiadian story.
Okay, go ahead.
That's okay. Because this is sometimes, and I guess it's kind of inside out, to show how things can work. I have a dear friend who's been a dear friend for well over 20 years who called me up on Pleiadian lineup. She had totally forgotten it was Pleiadian lineup because things were just really, really going bad, one right after the other, total, you know, challenges. And, I mean, in a manner of speaking, she was on her knees just making one more phone call. And she called me. And the first thing I said was, happy Pleiadian lineup. And it's like, oh, I forgot. And in that conversation, I had just a matter of 2 or 3 days prior to that been to a place where where she could be performing her work and her mission. It was like the whole enchilada, a place where she could bloom and do her work and fulfill her mission, the whole door of the future, the dream that she's always had and always wanted to do but couldn't because of other things. Just like that, it happened. She called me, and I was like, I hooked her up, and now she's going. She's going. She's going to go there. She's going to be doing her work. The entire world opened up, and the entire dream that she's always had was just laid at her feet when she was at the lowest possible point. And you know, from my perspective, I was simply an instrument or a facilitator, but I had been kind of maneuvered into finding this place where she could go do her work. And at the same time, she called me, and I realized that it's now or never. You got, like Lavendar says, it's time to put on the big girl panties and get up on that horse because it is showtime, girl. And so she's doing it. She's going and she's going to do it. And so she went from hopelessness and despair on her knees and just total challenges and couldn't deal with it anymore and being so psychic and all these gifts and, you know, the whole emotional thing that goes on. And overnight, it all changed. So I want you to take heart from that story, to which there are many more details. But the thing is that you never, ever know. Just like in the movie with Tom Hanks called Castaway, you never know what the tide is going to bring. And you have to stay committed and aligned to your mission and keep your intent in alignment with the mission that you came here to do. And regardless of where you find yourself or how many questions you have or people that challenge you, just know that the very next day it can all change in a heartbeat. But you have to stay You just have to stay true to yourself. So.
Well, I'd like to add that, but you held her alignment, you see, all these years. And because you held the alignment and you held the light for her to see it in that moment, that was another reason that it happened.
Well, this is true. You know, I mean, she's like my little sister.
Right.
And
mine too.
And yours too. And certainly we know what she came here to do, and so does she, but she just had trouble getting up on the horse.
Yeah.
And now the door just opened, and we will continue to support her.
Right. And horses is what she does.
And horses is what she does. So, little sister, if you're listening, you know I'm thinking about you, and I can't wait to see you. She's flying up here next week.
Great.
So I just want to thank everyone for calling in and sharing their Pleiadian lineup stories. We do want to invite you. Do we have our guest lined up for next week?
No, not yet. Oh, yes, okay. We do. Renee Barnett is going to be with us, and she is the one that produced the movie Bloodline.
Oh,
and she's on a trip right now, and she'll be back just in time to do our show.
This will be
Renee
of
Barnett.
particular importance to all the people connected to the Mary Magdalene story.
Right, right.
So get the word out, everybody. This is going to be a huge show. Renee is a major player. And isn't there a website? Go ahead.
BloodlineTheMovie.com is her website.
Okay, everybody, check it out. Sierra, were you about to say something?
Yes, I was going to ask Lavendar if that's the movie that she handed me in Albuquerque.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's really great.
Have you seen it yet?
No, but I'm going to go home right now and watch it.
Okay.
Well, that's going to be great. We've been waiting for her to have the time to come and visit with us for quite some time, and this is going to be a major show. So anyone connected to the Mary Magdalene frequency, you're going to love it. And even if you're not, it's good. It's the truth that everyone needs to know.
That's right.
So
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
I have a very particular tie to the Mary Magdalene bloodline and energy and such, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, I am too, because of all the clients that I've had recently that seem to be connected to that story, and it does show up in their charts, and that first group of women out of Ohio really jump-started me on tracking how to find this. So I want to thank all of them for their participation.
Yeah, well, Tammy, you get the word out. Tammy is part of that group. Okay. Well, you know, I think we have come to the end of another very fascinating show, and I want to thank everyone who participated. Thank you to Mystic and Purple Sage for their priceless work behind the scenes, and Sierra, thank you so much for helping out, and we will, Lavendar and I will be back next week, same time at 7 p.m. Eastern time with Renee Barnett. Wow, I'm going to count the days till that one. So I'm going to sign off and say good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good
Thanks
night.
For listening. Thanks.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 4.